Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of you today. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Would you rather live with the fears of a frightening society or the promises of Almighty God? That's what I'd like to talk with you about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look out into this world, we realize that there are many things that are extremely disturbing. We cannot view our society in any other way than that, for we know that there are threats that come to our body, and we certainly know that there are all kinds of threats that come to our soul. We ponder the question, where shall we go? Today, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will give us grace to turn to your word and learn that we do not have to live with the fears of a frightening world, but with the promises of an almighty God. Hear our prayer and speak to us. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, beginning with verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. But I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. There once was a man named Job who lived on this earth. His name is familiar to many of us. He was often referred to as the person who suffered a great deal. But it wasn't always that way with Job. There was a time when he was a very wealthy person. He had a fine family, and he himself enjoyed excellent health. But then things suddenly changed. His wealth was taken from him. His children died in what we could describe today as a tornado. He was afflicted with disease, and he suffered a great deal. It was in that difficult time that Job wrote these immortal words, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." If we were to interpret these words of John, of Job, after Jesus had lived, we would see that they had real meaning, even more than what Job knew of in his day. For the Lord Jesus Christ did come to this earth, and here he lived and suffered and died. 3 days after he died, he was raised again from the dead. So we think of him as the resurrected and the living Lord Jesus Christ. That is the core of the gospel, friend, that Christ suffered and died, and that he was raised again. Through that glorious resurrection, he has won victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. And so on Sunday mornings, whenever you come to church, many of you confess your faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. A part of that creed reads, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." It means that as Christ was raised, we too shall be raised. St. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. "The body that is sown is perishable." That is, a body that was buried is perishable. It will return to the dust from whence it came. But Paul goes on to say, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. It is natural when we hear this that we human beings would have a lot of questions. It was kind of an interesting question that they put to Jesus one time. There was a man who died and left his wife. According to the tradition, his brothers were then to marry her. And he had a lot of brothers, six in fact. So the next one married, and then he died, and the next one, and he died, and the next one, and he died. And when the wife finally did die, she had had seven husbands. Now the question was raised to Jesus, in the resurrection, when we get to heaven, whose wife will she be? Then it was that Jesus had to go on and say, well, you don't understand it. Heaven is different than here. And according to what our Lord Jesus taught, there will be no marriage or giving in marriage in heaven. The point behind it is there are all kinds of questions. These same questions come in our time, and I don't think that we should be surprised at that. After all, when you think of a body rising from the dead, that is something that the human mind can simply not quite understand. What if we are cremated? And then our ashes are scattered over the ocean. A friend of mine told me that his mother was now going to be scattered, her ashes, over the Pacific Ocean. How would she be raised from the dead? Well, I don't know, but I like what Dr. George Farrell, a former professor of religion at the University of Iowa, has written in his book. The doctrine of the resurrection asserts that God, who created humans in the first place, can recreate us. Wherever our ashes are, whatever the condition of them might be, it is entirely possible for an almighty God to take the remains and recreate them so that once again we have the resurrected body. The Bible makes it very clear that in heaven, we are not only going to be a spirit, but we are going to be a body, and that body is going to be a new body. And so on Sunday mornings when we come to church and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, we stand there and say, "And I believe in the resurrection of the body." Have you given that a lot of thought, friend? Have you realized that what you're confessing there is that I really believe that one day my body will rise again? Perhaps many would say, no, I haven't. And really, how relevant is this as far as our day is concerned? Can't you find something that is just a little bit more meaningful as to where we live? So I'd like to ask you the question, isn't it relative? Would you rather live with the threats of society or the promises of Almighty God? There are all kinds of threats around us, aren't there? And we think especially about these threats in our day. Our president has said, we must and we will defeat terrorism. If we don't, and the terrorists gain victory, ultimately they will possess nuclear power, and then all of civilization will be destroyed. Just think of it, friend. What could really happen if this terrible, terrible, strong nuclear power is in the hands of those who are unstable and care nothing what they do to other people, other civilizations? It can all be gone in a very short time. Well, the president was right. There's no reason to doubt his statement. We are in a very serious day. That's the threat. And that's a threat that we all live with today. But here is the promise, and let me read it to you again. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. That's the promise that I have. And what a promise it really is. It's lived out in everyday life. It is not just a religious story that we read about. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of preaching at an installation service where two of my very good friends were involved. The pastor who was officiating at the installation has terminal cancer. Thank God it is in remission, but when you visit with him, he's very realistic, and he says, well, this is only for a little more time. He served that congregation for 25 years, and what a job he has done there. Now he had resigned and was in retirement. The man who was being installed as a new pastor had been successfully treated for cancer and had been declared by the medical authorities as cancer-free. Here were these two men involved in this service. It was extremely emotional for me, for one of them had been my friend for many, many years, coming from the same town in Maine from which I came. Though I didn't know him there, he had not yet been born. But he had come to be my neighbor, and I knew him as a faithful pastor. And there he stood, conducting that installation service. I said to him afterwards, what a testimony you gave today. And he said to me, we live with a promise. That's what gives us grace and strength. It was not the way either one of them wanted it to be, but in spite of the afflictions they had gone through, there was a peace in their soul that radiated in their faces and a confidence in their voice which declared that as Christ has been raised, they too would be raised. Sure, this horrible death can snuff us all out, but that is not the end. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to tell us, and that's what Job was telling us long before Jesus came to live on this earth for a few years. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that I have suffered. My children are gone, my wealth is gone, my health is gone. What do I have left? I have a promise. I have a promise that in Jesus Christ, I will be his forever. Job didn't know this Christ, but he called him a Redeemer. It was prophetic. He was the Christ who was to come. You and I live this side of the cross, and that much of the story we have seen, it has been revealed to us exactly what it will be like. Do we want to live with the fears of a frightened world, or do we want to live with the promises of God? Therein lies the relevance of this biblical teaching and its proclamation today. I believe in the resurrection of the body. You know, Jesus said, and it's recorded in the gospel that is being read in many churches today, that those who believe in him are God's children. Then he gives us a new title. We are children of the resurrection. Don't you like that? We are not children of defeat. We are not children whose life is going to come to an end and then that's all of it. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe in him, then we are children of the resurrection. It seems to me that I have been doubly blessed as I have walked on this earth. I have been permitted to live in the United States of America. I know that there are so many things here that are not right. Open up the newspapers every morning and you see all of the wrongs enumerated. Turn on the television at night and you are almost astounded at what is happening around us. And yet, in spite of our sinfulness and how God continues to bless us, I don't know. But I am thankful to God that I have had the privilege of living my life in the United States. I am an American. As I sat and watched the World Series here a few weeks ago and saw those different renditions of God Bless America, my heart was just thrilled. When I stand at an athletic event in our community and sing the national anthem, there is something about it that is so thrilling. But more than that, friend, I am an American while I am here, but while I am here, I am more than that. I am a child of the resurrection. Jesus Christ has died. And if we trust him as our Savior and our Lord, now remember, that's the gospel. If we receive him as our Savior and our Lord, then we have a new title. And it's a title that is even greater than being called an American. It is being called a child of God, and therefore a child of the resurrection. Job is our example. That man who suffered so much was one who found his victory in a God who was his Redeemer. And so it has gone on from that day to this. How positively we should live. How much joy there should be in our hearts. How much confidence there should be as we strive with all of the power in us to blot out those terrorists and anybody else who would destroy life on this earth. How positive we can be that in spite of all of these difficulties and terrible things that can happen, we are children of the resurrection. As you go about your work this week, and sometimes you're despondent and downhearted, just stop and think of who you are, who Jesus Christ says you are. You are, if you trust him, a child of the resurrection. Amen.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, help us to live with this gospel in intimate fellowship with you, to the place that we may understand fully what it is to be a child of the resurrection. Today, O Lord, we pray for those who mourn the loss of their loved ones. We know that there are many who have found their way to the cemeteries of late, and there the heart can be broken, and the tears can flow very freely. Help us to understand, O God, and comfort those people who have been there with that great truth that as Jesus Christ was raised, so we too shall be raised. We have the mystery before us. We don't understand it, and that's all right. But grant that we may live with the promises of your holy word and not the fears of our society. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the gospel message heard today will bring you peace and joy in the days to come. We remind you that Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. Each gift helps us proclaim the gospel message. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Sermons are organized by topic to help you find what you need. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. We are linked to a daily devotional and a Bible reference tool to help you in your devotional life. Our website strives to be a gateway to a stronger faith for all who visit. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.